I'm JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher. Welcome to Tuesday morning. Revisiting one of your favourite subjects, Sydney house prices, with the joining of the dots and therefore linking to the New Zealand market. So what do we know about Sydney? It's going backwards.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. We are going to bring together a whole lot of themes here because that's what we do. So yesterday we spoke about the release of the Hayne report, or the interim report. Now that's the output of the Royal Banking Commission. Now we await the final report recommendation and what, if any, regulatory response we get over there. So it has an impact on the Australian banking system and then any overflow into the banking system here, because, Mike, all of our big banks are owned by the Australian parents. And why is that important with regards to Sydney house prices? Well, the banking system is integral to the housing market, and the housing market over there isn't looking that robust. Now, the CoreLogic data on Australian house prices, Sydney is under pressure, down 6.1% from the peak last year. And as I always say to people, Mike, if the average is down 6.1%, that will be masking areas that are feeling a little bit of pain. In other words, some places will be down quite a bit more than 6%. Some places might not be down at all. It's just an average. Nationwide, Australian house prices down 2.7%. Melbourne down 3.5%. Darwin, though, they're up 3.7%. Now, it's hitting the higher end of the Sydney market, Mike. The upper quartile of Sydney prices fell 8.4%. Hobart is up, but the market is slowing there as well. And people say, look, well, what's the relevance? What's the relevance to us? Well, some of the factors may be relevant to the New Zealand context, Mike, because a lot of this is about the availability of credit. It's getting harder to borrow. Bank funding costs are creeping up. So across the Tasman, we're even seeing banks raise mortgage rates, what they call out of cycle. So the official cash rate's not going up, but the banks are pushing their rates up as well. And that could feed in across here as well. They could come into play in New Zealand. I mean, one of the big banks over there is calling for a 10% fall from peak to trough in the Australian context. And now I see that both the Reserve Bank of Australia and Treasury are warning the Morrison government about any regulated response to that Hayne report, because they don't want to nail the housing market, Mike. They don't want all the credit shock. Now, just as an aside, I saw this actually when I was looking and researching this. The absolute top end of the market over there, not looking too bad, though. A guy called Mike Cannon-Brooks, who's the co-founder of Atlassian, he just paid $100 million for the old Fairwater estate. That's the old Fairfax mansion. Yeah. So top end of the market.
It's a beautiful house. Dwelling consents here, though. So we're building like we never have, or not for a long time anyway, but still not enough at just under 13,000.
Yeah, just under 13,000. That's the number of homes that have been consented in Auckland in August. That is a good size number, 26% more than this time last year. And we're now at numbers that are rivaling peaks we saw in 2004 in the mid-1970s. Now, interesting, that 2004 peak, that was driven purely by apartment consents. But now we've got this mix, Mike, multi-unit dwellings, townhouses, apartments, retirement village units. I think it's notable, though, that this, what we're seeing is kind of like the de-emphasis on the standalone house. The numbers of standalone houses consented in August 2018, actually lower than in 2004. So it's all about the apartments. It's all about those sorts of dwellings. The number across New Zealand, though, we're still well under 1974. So this is a bit of an Auckland phenomenon at the moment. It looks like the supply side of the equation is being addressed in Auckland, Mike. And I think Auckland property market has got some headwinds. We've got slow migration,
yep,
increasing supply, potentially tighter credit, slowing sales. And look, some suburbs will be relatively immune, but I think there are headwinds there, and I think we're going to have to keep an eye on that market.
Very interesting insight. What are the numbers for this Tuesday morning?
Well, that trade deal between, what is he calling it? MCU. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, does it?
Even what he calls it doesn't mean it's actually what it's called.
Anyway, that's the share markets love it. The Dow Jones up 218 points, 26,676. S&P 500 2929 up 15, that's about 0.5%. NASDAQ up 13, 8059. FTSE 100, they lost 15. 7495. The Nikkei up 125, 24245. And the Shanghai Composite up 1%, 2821. They lost 35 points across the Tasman yesterday in the ASX 200, closing at 6172. We lost 24, about a quarter of a percent, closing at 9327. US dollar stronger as a result of that trade deal. We're now at 0.6611 against the US, 0.9160 against the Aussie, 0.5715 against the Euro, 0.5070 pounds, 75.36 yen. Gold trading at $1,188.95. And now we need a drum roll, Mike. Brent crude.
What do we got?
Where is it?
Bring it on.
$84.
No.
$84.22. It is. This is not good. Going to 100.
I'm going to be paying 260 a litre in a moment. All right, nice, nice to see you, mate. Andrew Kelleher, JMI Wealth. He and the team at jmiwealth.co.nz.